Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Barton and Hahn on ESPN Radio. Amber Wilson filling in for Alan Hahn alongside Bart Scott. ESPN Radio is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. You can tweet to us at BartScott57, at Amber W Sports. You can also give us a call. We appreciate all of you who have been calling all show long. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It is the 2 o'clock hour, Bart Scott. What does that mean?
Oh, that means it's the power hour, hour, hour. Oh, I almost blacked out. Hold on.
I was going to say, you okay?
I forgot to breathe.
Breathing is key. So earlier in the show, you were telling me that Michael Thomas, when we were talking about the New Orleans Saints, him still starting training camp on the PUP list, no big deal. That's what you do to be cautious, right? Well, Maybe not if you're the New York Jets, because they have some key pieces that have come off the PUP list as we head into training camp. Mekhi Becton, Carl Lawson, CJ Uzomah, they all came off the PUP list. Mekhi Becton obviously being the biggest name in that trio. What do you make about a healthy Becton? Are you excited for your former team as we head into training camp?
Tell you what a difference 6 weeks makes. Because, I mean, you talk about the keto diet where you lose 30 pounds. You talk about boxing camps where you go into boxing and guys go out of shape. They lose 20, 30 pounds. Mekhi Becton reported to OTAs looking like fat bastard. Now he comes looking like like he's a little Adonis. You know, he comes in all reports. He's in shape. He's lost the weight. You have Rich Samini reporting that he went to the – called a nutritionist. Nutritionist says that, you know, he's in great shape. The weight is where they wanted to be. And listen, you heard Bagwell's list. He's one of the guys that's on there. It's time for him to show that he's the dominant top 10 pick that they picked him as, you know, 3 seasons ago.
Now, Mekhi Becton, they're apparently moving him to right tackle. Is he right tackle? Is he left tackle?
I hope he moves
reports
right tackle.
Not so fast. He's a right tackle right now, right?
I hope he – listen, he's played right tackle. It's not that he's not a better left tackle than George Fant. The issue is George Fant is a far less superior right tackle than Mekhi Becton would be. You talk about a team that wants to base it and hang their hat on running the football and getting in second into favorable downs and distances. You talk about now when you put Mekhi Becton in a zone scheme. Remember, his first year he was in a gap scheme. He was throwing guys off the ball. He was just destroying linebackers and defensive ends. But when you go to this zone, that means he's on the backside. Most teams are right-hand dominant. They run to their right more than they run to their left. The tight end is usually to that side. So that means you have a guy that's 340-plus pounds trying to cut people off and chase people. Well, when you put him on the right side, guess what? They have to come to him. So they can stay. They got to stay on the tracks when the train is coming through. They can't avoid him, no straight ahead, no fair dodging, because they're running at you. Eventually, you got to come to him. So instead of him trying to cut you off from the backside, so I think it's best for all parties in hand. And I think, listen, nobody cares now with what Ramchek got paid, what Jack Conklin got paid. It doesn't matter, right or left tackle. Dominant tackle is a dominant tackle. You get the money that you deserve, and you get money. Right tackles get left tackle money and vice versa.
Robert Saleh said, "We made a decision that was best for the team," when he was explaining why they moved Mekhi Becton to right tackle. And it appears that they just didn't want Becton and Fant also shuffling back and forth between the positions. And then Becton's a lot younger. And Saleh said as much. You know, he's young, his youth, 23 years old. It's easier for him to slide over and learn essentially a new position.
He's played
so
right
that's
tackle.
Why they made that decision. And he played it. Right. He played it
before. In college.
So it's easier for him to go back and forth, I guess, between the positions at this point in his young NFL career. Do you have any concerns there about the durability now that we got these three guys off the PUP list?
Now, that's what I worry about. Mekhi Becton, if it's one knock on him, is that he's always hurt with some small injuries. Right, that wasn't the case in college, but since he's been a pro, even his first season, he was in and out. When you would think about dominant right tackles or left tackles, I think about Jonathan Ogden, Walter Jones, I think about Orlando Pace. Those guys were always available. Whitworth, they are armed men. And we need to be able to figure out how to alleviate these small injuries for Mekhi Becton. He's a massive man. I think making teams come to him and making sure that guys can't run around him or run away from him because he's going to have, you know, Uzama right there next to him or Tomlinson right next to him really will help him out. And you talk about having Mekhi Becton right there anyway, and then you talk about having a tight end there. Who the hell is going to stand there and set the edge? It's got to take a brave man to set that edge against that much power and weight, knowing that you can't go around him. You got to hold on to it.
It's those durability issues with Becton, yeah, where I think he actually does have quite a bit of pressure on him this, yep, season, and it's pressure to stay healthy. Let us know, who do you think has the most pressure in the NFL as we head into this 2022-23 campaign? Give us a call. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. This is Barton Hahn. Amber Wilson filling in for Alan Hahn alongside Bart Scott. But Becton, I mean, it's the first time he's practiced in 11 months this, yep, week as training camp kicks off. He said last month that he was planning on winning the left tackle job outright. Now it appears that he doesn't care what position he plays. And really, honestly, he shouldn't. The focus for Becton is just being healthy. He's made it through a full season. Or no, I'm sorry. His focus is to make it through a full season. 18 yeah. games is right. what he's missed since the Jets drafted him at the 11th spot in 2020. He has missed 18 games for this team.
So what I tell Mekhi Becton, when he walks in and we say, hey, big fella, we're moving you this. You look great. Moving you to right tackle. Now, here's what you need to realize. This is year three for you. If you show us the type of player that you are this year, that you can stay healthy and be durable and be dominant like we believe that you were from the first year, do you know what is out there right now? Trent Williams makes $100 million. Guess what? $100 million is sitting out there for you, big fella, if you want to get it. If you can lock in, you can have generational wealth. You can have life-altering, changing wealth. And guess what? This is the beauty of it, Mekhi. You're 23 years old. If you get a five-year, $100 million contract, you're going to get a second one. And you can leave this league with $250 million as a freaking tackle. Now, if you need to go dip your body in wax, you need to go to an acupuncturist. I don't care what you got to do, brother. But that's the reality of it. Somebody in this league is going to get $250 million if they can play 12 years in the league. Are you going to be the one? Or are you going to let that be Tristan Wirfs? Are you going to let that be Orlando Brown Jr.?
Mm-hmm. I mean, just 6 weeks ago, it didn't seem like he cared, right? I mean, 6 weeks ago to OTAs, I mean, yeah. you mentioned the weight. And then all of a sudden, he shows up for training camp looking like a different person.
Looking like a stripped
up
fat bastard.
It must
bastard.
Be good to
Look
be
like
a male
bastard.
Professional athlete. I got to be honest with you. Dropping that in 6 weeks? Come on.
Yeah, six weeks.
This girl's tried keto for weeks on end. I didn't make that kind of transformation, but Mekhi Becton did. So, it appears that he's... He's all of a sudden, he cares. Well, yeah, there's obviously serious dollars on the line. But he says he feels the best Bart that he has since his rookie year. What concerns me about that is, like, we're only a couple years removed from your rookie year, boss. How did you already lose motivation to stay in that kind of shape?
Now, to be honest, right, last year when I saw Mekhi Becton, I was over there right before camp started interviewing. His weight was intact. But what happens is when big boys get injured and you can't do anything, it is so easy. This is an honest story, right? And listen, I'm going to name names because I'm that type of person. We were going to a bye week. Rex Ryan went to one of our favorite guys, Howard Green. He said, "Big Howard." He said, "Man, we need you to lose some weight. Like, you know, like we're going on this bye week. We're going to be out. We always got the week off. Need you to lose some pounds, big fella. I mean, we need you at a premium weight. We need you. We appreciate you." We went over. Bet. Howard said, "Bet." We left. Came back 7 days later, Big Howell, 12 pounds heavier.
Ooh.
Big Howell gained 12 pounds. He gained over a pound a day.
Oh, my goodness.
What the ribbon flapping red dye 88 is going on right here? Rex cut him that day. He had to cut him. Like, you're supposed to be one of my guys from Baltimore. I brought you
What could you possibly be doing to gain 12 pounds in 1 week?
When you're that big? You gaining weight like that is easy. We've all had a crazy weekend, drank, ate crazy for a weekend and gained 5 pounds. He's already 340. Him gaining 10 pounds is nothing. It's a drop in the duck. His body already has the cell memory about being fat. Those fat cells are already there. And when you fill them up, oh, they're going to hold on to it.
I mean, from the outside looking in, it seems like it'd be so easy just to, you know, put down the pizza and the beer for 1 week when there's millions of dollars on the line. And maybe that's us all living in this different world out here than y'all are living in. But, man, it feels like if there's millions of dollars on the line.
Okay, when you're that rich, you know what you're eating? Yeah, let me get the cowboy steak sautéed with béarnaise sauce, a little au jus, and let me get some fried mushrooms. And, let me get the sweet potato casserole with the brown sugar and honey. It's just that easy.
I get you can afford to eat like that, but man, if somebody is willing to pay me millions of dollars, I will eat nothing but kale if that's what you want me to do.
It'd be calling me, though, Amber. It'd be calling me.
Coming up in just moments here, we're going to take your calls. We're also going to preview game 2 of the Subway series. But first, Bart has this word from Cheerios.
Speaking about eating healthy, if you're on a go like I am sometimes, you might be skipping eating a healthy way, which is probably why sometimes I feel a little bit sluggish, Amber. Well, as a friendly reminder to myself and to everybody listening, you can fuel life's special moments with heart-healthy Honey Nut Cheerios. Made from whole grains and low-in-fat, Cheerios also provides 12 essential vitamins and minerals. So pour your heart into today. It's oh so important. Pick up a box of Honey Nut Cheerios today at your local grocery store or just call Jameis. He got some.
This is Bart and Han on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. Amber Wilson filling in for Alan Han today alongside Bart Scott. You can give us a call, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Scott is in Jupiter. Scott, who do you think has the most pressure this NFL season?
For me, most pressure got to be Aaron.
Well, no, I wasn't throwing it out to Bart Scott. I was throwing it out to Scott on the phone line.
Ow! My bad.
If he's there, but is Scott, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, hello,
time,
Scott.
Long time. Sorry, Bart. I didn't mean to steal your thunder. But I got to go with my homegirl, Amber. I think down here in South Florida, the pressure's on Tua. With all the comments that Tyreek has made here of late, I just think the pressure on that young man is phenomenal right now.
For sure, Thor still in his thunder, thunder god. You know, I totally agree with you. I can rock with that. I don't know what you think, Amber. What do you think?
I think the pressure's really high on Tua because you and I were talking about it earlier in the show. Those two first rounders that they have in 23, they have always, even with all the toggling that they did in the draft over the last couple seasons, they made sure to ensure that they had two in 23. And I thought, okay, that's because they're giving Tua the 3 full years, evaluate him, know what you have. Obviously, with this new regime coming in too, with Mike McDaniel. So I do think it is this year or bust for Tua Tagovailoa. I do think that they're actually going to give him a solid opportunity here. They put him in the best position possible, Bart. He's got the fastest wide receiving core in the country. They brought in help for him in the backfield. They brought in help for him in terms of protection with Teron Armstead. They did what they could to set Tua up for success. This ain't the Chicago Bears with Justin Fields. Like, you should know by now in this season what you have in Tua, and if they don't have it, they should feel confident in being able to move on from him. I think that the pressure is really high from him, and I think it's fair that it's that high.
Yeah, once again, though, you talk about a team that won't be bad enough to be high in the draft. Yes, they have equity to move up. But unless it's a team like the Jaguars that are first, that team in that first slot could be looking for a quarterback. What if it's the Seattle Seahawks? We don't know who's the worst team in the league, but we're going to find out pretty quickly. But it's a lot of teams that are good teams. Philadelphia, Detroit, I think, is going to win in maybe 6 or 7 games. They all are going to be looking for answers at the quarterback position at the end of the year. So that we may be talking about moving up may cost you 3 or 4 picks. May cost you the 2 that you got and 1 for the next year. That is a hefty load to give up for a quarterback. And we don't know what these quarterbacks are going to be. Tua Tagovailoa, you know, they went out, they got him Tyreek Hill. To every indication, Tyreek Hill said he prefers the pretty balls Tua.
He's just selling the company line.
Well, he's selling
I appreciate you, Tyreek, but that's all he's doing.
He's selling the company line, but yeah, we gonna know for sure pretty soon if you know Tyreek isn't getting any balls down the field, he's all getting slants and bubble pass because he doesn't have the arm strength to push the ball through the air.
Well, that's why you bring in the guy who can get the yards after catch, right, in Tyreek Hill. That's why they went that direction. Jose is in Brooklyn, though. Jose, I understand that you think that guy Tyreek Hill just left has some pressure. What's up, Jose?
That's right. How y'all doing today, first of all? That was a good segue. You guys are pros. I think it's Patrick Mahomes. I see him as the person with the most pressure because his whole division, every team added all-pro talent. He lost all-pro talent. So it's like Kansas City wrote a check that he has to cash. You know, he's been part of the GOAT conversation since coming in. He's going to be the next great quarterback. And if things don't go well for him, he could be the next Aaron Rodgers who only won one Super Bowl, and everybody's going to be disappointed if he doesn't do the right thing. So I think that's it, man. I think he's a great guy, but I think the pressure, you know, with the promises of his talent and how great that division is now, you know, he could look at being a disappointment, you know, unfairly, but, you know, that might be what happens.
You talk about $500 million for 10 years. They bought his prime. But, you know, his career, to me, really mirrors Russell Wilson. Went to the Super Bowl back-to-back, won one, and you want to say he won one because he was so cheap and you had a bunch of extra luxury pieces that you can buy, got paid like Russell Wilson, and now we're seeing if it's a second act, if he can win with less. You know, because when you get that type of money, you start losing your pieces. And eventually, if they don't figure this thing out with Orlando Brown, who they didn't get a long-term deal with that they gave up a first-round draft pick for, then that's going to be less talent on his team because it's hard to find a great left tackle in this league. And not saying that, you know, Orlando Brown Jr. is great, but he's a good to Pro Bowl caliber left tackle. And they could be losing him, and it could be part because they won't offer the type of money. And maybe they're not offering the type of money because what they're paying Patrick Mahomes.
I have a hard time believing that anything with Patrick Mahomes, though, is pressure. Because, I mean, at the same time, like, yes, I understand y'all's point there. And like you said, this is what happens when you have to pay quarterbacks coming off of rookie deals that live up to the hype and to the expectation. But at the same time, like, he is paid and we all think he's great. And he's got, you know, we know that he can win Super Bowls.
He's good, but where is the pressure really? Well, the pressure for him.
Everybody considers him a top three now.
No, but, you know, when you consider somebody a top quarterback in the league, that's a leased position. It's not owned because at one point Russell Wilson was there, right? His first couple of years, let Russ cook, he was there. See, but the thing is, what if Lawrence starts to be the quarterback that we think he can be? What if Justin Herbert continues to ascend? What if Joe Burrow continues to ascend? And they take the title from him as the young, good quarterback. Deshaun Watson comes back and reminds everybody what he was doing in Houston with no talent. Once they got rid of DeAndre Hopkins, he still threw for 4,800 yards with a bunch of bumps.
Only won four games, though.
Yeah, exactly. But environment matters. Now he's on a team that's arguably has the best roster in all of football. So then if he's able to be something, if he's able to be great there, then that may push Mahomes down. Potentially, we can be saying Watson, Burrow, Jackson, Allen. We can see those guys in the near future passing Mahomes as far as the better quarterbacks. So the pressure now is to win while Travis Kelce still has one or two elite years left. Travis Kelce is 34 years old. He is that offense, especially now that Tyreek Hill is gone. So the pressure isn't so much on Patrick Mahomes. The pressure is to win while they still are in their prime before they have to reload and find talent to replace some of the mainstays that we've become accustomed to knowing.
You want to take advantage of your windows.
Yes.
And the windows don't last long in the NFL. He's already taken advantage of the window, though.
But he only
and
got
we
one.
Talk a, we talk a lot about him losing Tyreek. As a Dolphins fan, I want to feel like that is going to make all the difference, Bart. But at the same time, they did bring in some extra pieces to try to help fill that void. It's not Tyreek Hill. I get it. I get Valdez-Scantling isn't Tyreek. No, I get Juju's not Tyreek individually.
Yeah.
But collectively, that receiving room's still pretty good. And then you mentioned Travis Kelce.
It's good, but this is the difference, right? When you have a receiver the caliber of Tyreek Hill, not that Tyreek Hill is the best receiver in the league, he's the most difficult with his skill set. So what you can't do with Tyreek Hill and what most people don't try to do is put one guy on him. But if you have Juju Smith-Schuster and you have J.C. Jackson or Patrick Surtain, you're going to say, you know what? I like that matchup. And he may be able to erase him. It's no way you're erasing Tyreek Hill because you can put Tyreek Hill in the backfield and hand him the ball and now the corner has no shot because of his unique skill set, because he's 5'11", but he's 200 pounds. He's like a running back playing the receiver position. DK Metcalf and all those guys can't do that. They don't do reverses. They don't do, like, slot stuff. They don't do the speedos. So he's one of the most unique talents that we've seen in this game in a long time. So that creates matchup nightmares because you can move them around in so many different places. So I'm not saying that these other guys aren't good receivers. What I'm saying is you have to have two on Tyreek Hill, or you have to bracket him from the other side. So that allows guys like Mecole Hardman or Travis Kelce to get favorable one-on-one coverage, because nobody in their right mind is ever going to – there's no Revis Islands out here. There's no Revises out here. If it is a Revis out there, it's only one and two in his league that you would ever dare match up one-on-one with a guy like Tyreek Hill.
Let's try to get one more call in here quickly. Give us a call, 888-SAY-ESPN. Sean is in Florida. Sean, who has the most pressure this NFL season?
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
I think it's going to be Trey Lance. I think Trey Lance may get some unfair criticism, but I think with the supporting cast that he has, a Super Bowl offensive roster, and getting to the NFC Championship last year, I think that a lot of people that are big Jimmy G supporters are going to look at Trey Lance pretty quickly if he fails. And I think that Trey Lance will probably get a lot of unfair criticism, but I think a lot of pressure is going to be on him because they have a team that's built to win the Super Bowl now. I think the difference between him and Jimmy G is going to be his play-action pass, him being able to stretch a defense with his arm. And I think the one veteran on that team that's going to benefit greatly will surprisingly be Brandon Ayuk. But I do think Trey Lance is going to have a lot of pressure on him.
Thanks for the call, Sean. Yeah. We're up against the clock. But, Bart, I have heard that from several people now. Like, it is Super Bowl or bust for Trey Lance, which frankly, very unfair for Trey Lance as he basically just starts his NFL career.
It's not Super Bowl or bust. What happens once Jimmy G jumps off? Now they have a window for 4 years with Trey Lance because they don't have to pay him, so they're going to be able to spend money on different pieces to help him out. No.
Which is why you're going to get Debo paid and why you're going to see some of that money spread
Nick
around.
Bosa.
If they're able to maintain all those pieces around Trey Lance. But I guess to that caller's point, the expectation in San Francisco is, hey, if Jimmy Garoppolo can get us there, and most people don't consider him an elite quarterback, then you should be able to also get us there if you're any kind of decent. So we'll see how that goes, but we know it is a new era in San Francisco. They made it very clear, Kyle Shanahan did, that Trey Lance is their starter, and they are moving on from Jimmy Garoppolo. We are moving on also. Coming up next, we're going to move on to the Subway Series in Major League Baseball. That's next. This is Barton Hahn, Amber Wilson filling in for Alan Hahn on ESPN Radio. This is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. Amber Wilson filling in for Alan Hahn. ESPN Radio is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. Bart Scott is riding high today. His New York Mets look like the best team in baseball. They're certainly the best team in New York coming off of Game 1 of the Subway Series. So let's bring in some help in unpacking this series. Jeff Passan, ESPN Major League Baseball insider. And Jeff, you just heard me mention Bart Scott. He's in a very good mood today coming off of his Mets win. Are we making too much out of one game in the regular season?
Yes. Yes. One freaking game. One game. Come on.
It's the only game.
I know they're 162 as opposed to 16, Bart. Come on.
But here's the thing. Listen, I understand that Gerrit Cole isn't pitching. I understand that it's a mismatch between Serger and Herman tonight. But what I do think yesterday showed is that they can compete. And I think that Diaz looked very, very good. But when you looked at the game, what did it show that both teams may need to be able to be a legitimate title contender?
Oh, I mean, I don't know if the Mets look like they need a whole lot, at least in terms of yesterday. They got really good starting pitching from Taijuan Walker and Adam Ottavino, and Edwin Diaz got the last nine outs. And it's awfully nice when you have two relief pitchers who can come in and go more than one inning. With the Yankees, look, they're in the starting pitcher market for a reason. Despite having just an incredible first couple months of the season, they've come back to earth a little bit. And when you look at the relief pitching that they brought in last night, I mean, do you feel like you're winning a championship with Marinaccio, Loaiza, Peralta, Chapman, and Abreu? The Yankees need relief arms right now. And they've needed relief arms, frankly, since Chad Green went down, and especially after Michael King did. So, I think the more acute needs right now, and this is odd to say considering what their records are, the more acute needs at the moment are with the Yankees. But I also think, honestly, if you have a Subway Series World Series right now, I'm still probably riding with the Yankees over the Mets. And a lot of that is going to depend on Jacob DeGrom coming back and what he looks like, what he does.
So you think with a healthy DeGrom, then you feel confident there. But it does feel like, Jeff, that the Yanks are going to do something here before 6 p.m. on August 2nd, which is the trade deadline. Who are they eyeing in terms of starting pitching?
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
I think Luis Castillo is the guy, the best starting pitcher on the market right now, and there are some other really good ones. Frankie Montas with the A's, Tarik Skubal with the Tigers, Pablo Lopez with the Marlins. Cleveland's got a couple of guys. Houston has starting pitchers that could be had, though I highly doubt they're going to be going to the Yankees. I think in the end, not Castillo or bust for the Yankees, but I think there would be some warranted disappointment if they don't get him, because they have the guys to do it. They have the farm system to do it. And beyond that, he would be around for not just this pennant drive, but for a whole nother year after that, and fortifies your rotation going into next season, too. And you've got a ready-made Jameson Taillon replacement there. So I think Castillo is probably the likeliest at this point. Big upgrade for the Yankees. They're going to be in the Juan Soto sweepstakes. I know I'm pivoting away from starting pitching here and probably answering the question you were going to ask next. They will be in on Juan Soto because they're the Yankees, because they have the system, but I wouldn't consider them the favorite by any means at this point.
It's interesting that you say Juan Soto after what Judge is doing in the season that he's putting forth. You know, would that maybe, if they are in the sweepstakes, does that mean that they're out on Judge for a long-term, Yankee, and they're going to go with Juan Soto, the younger version of himself, and maybe the better bargain long-term?
Not necessarily. Remember, Soto is going to be signed for the next two full seasons at under market prices. That's just when you're a Major League Baseball player, the first six full years of your career, you are not being paid market value because you haven't gotten to free agency yet. So I could see a scenario in which the Yankees go out and get Soto and...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Veteran wide receiver Julio Jones, Bart Scott, he's got a new home. He is now a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Mm. 1 year deal with the Bucs. Tom Brady going to be throwing him the football. He may be 45 years old, but the living's pretty good when Tom Brady's throwing you the football. What do you make about Julio Jones signing with the Tampa Bay Bucs?
To me, it's a luxury piece, right? Julio Jones, he told us, looked us square down in the face. I will be healthy. I will be this. Like, nah, Julio, we understand. We've seen this movie before. We've seen it with Terrell Owens. You know what I'm saying? We've seen it with Randy Moss. like you are one of the best, most athletic receivers in the history of this game. And he'll be up there, considered part of top five, maybe with Larry Fitzgerald, Megatron. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. But he's starting to lose a step. And now he can be dominant at times and not all the time. But if Julio Jones is your third best receiver or your fourth receiver, that is a great place to be in life. You know, Chris Godwin, you know, is going to come back healthy. It's going to take him a while. You know, you look at Scotty Miller. You look at, you know, of course, Mike Evans. You look at Cameron Brake coming back. Who knows? You know, they got Rudolph there. They plugged in some of the pieces. I thought they did a great job when they lost Kappa, going to get Shaq Mason, who's one of the best tackles. They got some leadership on the defensive side of the ball. You know, Logan Ryan. You know, so I think, listen, this is just makes some a team that's already a threat a more legitimate threat. I like it. And it's no risk, it's high risk. I mean, it's low risk, high reward.
Low risk, right. High reward if it pans out. I mean, they've got, Tyler Johnson also, Perryman, Russell Gage as well. And so now they've got Julio Jones. He's only 33. But, yeah, he looks like he has lost a step. Although you can lose a step maybe if Tom Brady's throwing you the football. And if you've got other great receivers in that room and if you don't have to be the number one like you mentioned. It looks a lot different with Ryan Tannehill throwing you the football. And he had his own durability concerns last season as well. That's probably how the rest of his career is going to go, Bart, where now Julio Jones is battling durability issues. But they just don't need him to do a ton in Tampa. So I actually feel like that this is a really good spot for him to land.
I believe so, too. And listen, one thing that he needs for his Hall of Fame resume, or I'm sure he wants, is a Super Bowl title. I mean, your chances go up exponentially when you play with Tom Brady. And listen, he took his time. He took his time and chose wisely and just seemed like this is a perfect spot. I mean, I'm assuming he played with Russell Gage, you know, when he was a young player, so they have familiarity there. He'll come in. He'll be entrenched in the culture. And this is a veteran team that's all about veteran things. All they care about is winning. They don't care about the individual accolades because most people on this team already have them.
This team is all in on being the veteran team as they try to capitalize on Brady.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're coming down the stretch on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio. Amber Wilson filling in for Alan Hahn alongside Bart Scott. You can follow us on Twitter at BartScott57, at Amber W Sports. So game two of the Subway Series is tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. And when we were talking to Jeff Passan earlier, he mentioned Jacob deGrom. Obviously, the Mets right now missing one of their aces. A long road back to the majors for deGrom. But he just had his fourth rehab start. Didn't go as smoothly as his first three rehab starts, Bart Scott. He squared off against the Royals AAA affiliate Omaha Storm Chasers, donning a Syracuse Mets uniform. And in total, DeGrom allowed 4 runs on 2 hits, 3 walks over 4 innings, striking out 6, throwing 67 pitches. He's on his way back, is the point, Bart. What do you make of maybe DeGrom rejoining his major league club here at some point soon?
Scariest thing for the American National League is a healthy Jacob DeGrom that's rested, that doesn't have a lot of innings. Who knows, like, how many innings he's capable of. He's got to get stretched out. But this is, like, perfect time when you're coming off an injury, only pretty much, you know, having limited innings pitched going into the postseason, you know, not overextending. When you come from the injuries that he's had, missed the entire season almost last year, you know, after coming off to that blazing start, I wish he would just stop throwing the damn ball so damn hard. Like he's throwing like 102. He's like last year he was throwing the ball faster and harder than he's ever thrown it before. I mean, come on back, man. Be the professor, man. Be the professor and start. You know, Maddox? I always have got Tommy Maddox in my head. I don't know why I got Pittsburgh in my head. Come back and be the professor, man. You know, you have the ability to paint corners, to change speeds. Like, you don't have to be throwing 100 miles an hour. I'm concerned, but I'm excited. I just hope that if he comes back, it's not a short return and he's back on the IL.
we're up against the trade deadline on August 2nd, and we're going to be talking a lot.
I want Castillo, though.
Over the next few days about, we're going to be talking a lot about what these teams are going to be doing in order to improve. We know the Yanks are going after some starting pitching, not Castillo, as Bart Scott says, but Castillo, yes, that could be somebody that they have their sights set on. But with Jacob DeGrom coming back, it's kind of like the Mets acquiring somebody, up against the trade deadline, right? Like, that's the kind of thing. It's like that boost. It's the boost that right now the Yanks are looking for as we head towards 6 p.m. on August 2nd. And DeGrom coming back is that, if he is healthy and if he's the DeGrom that we're used to seeing.
It's Christmas for Bart.
It is. Honestly, considering that it should be Christmas morning right now and that he should feel really good about these reports out there about how many pitches DeGrom is throwing, I feel like Bart is pretty muted here.
I want Castillo too, because I don't like the report. I don't like the report that Jacob DeGrom is being courted. Open tampering by the Atlanta Braves. So I want to bring a guy like Castillo in there. In case I do lose to Grom, I got insurance, right? Mm-hmm. And if he's available now, you go get him now just in case.
Does Castillo play baseball? Because it feels like a requirement, But Castillo might be a good.
Luis Castillo does. Castillo, yes. I don't know about him.
Yes, Luis Castillo seems like that's his
metaverse clone.
Oh, gotcha. You in the metaverse again, huh?
All right, we're headed into game two tonight in this Subway Series. You're hearing Renee's voice, the Yankees fan, against Bart Scott's voice there, the Mets fan. I want you guys to go to blows. Give me some predictions for tonight. I will start with you, Renee. You are beaten down after last night. You stayed out. You went to the game with Harry Douglas. You rolled into our production meeting incredibly tired after watching your team lose. Are the Yanks bouncing back tonight against Scherzer?
It will be difficult because it is Max Scherzer, but a prediction for today's game: Aaron Judge will hit another home run. So that I think that's pretty much
all they care about. I think it won't be a crooked number because nobody will be on.
I didn't finish. First of all, thanks over there, Bartholomew. Aaron Judge will hit another home run, and the Yankees will win 3-2.
So he has the confidence.
I have the confidence.
Is bouncing back. How's this work? Bartradamus, right? Isn't that how this works?
This ain't even Bartradamus. This is straight up me. You know what I'm saying? Bartradamus like, man, you got this. You don't need me to come out and predict nothing. In the words of Clubber Lang from Rocky 2 or Rocky 3, what I predict? Pain.
Yeah, okay.
Pain for Yankee fans, especially Renee, when they take this L, because now the Mets fans are going to be able to go out and stick their chest out like a peacock and say, hey, Yeah, we here. See what happens when we get an owner that don't have to shop at Walmart? Yeah, see what happens?
Domingo Herman's going to shut down that lineup today. That's how confident I am.
Is he going to show up or he going to get another charge?
He's going to show up.
He's going to get another charge? Jaywalking or something on the way?
All right, settle down. Let's not go there. What are you doing?
So, again, game two of the Subway Series tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern.
At our very own
ESPN. Coming up next, Canty and Carlin with Shea and Jordan Cornette.